and welcome to the latest Shop Talk episode of FP Next, now powered by John Deere. I'm one of your co-hosts, Sarah McNaughton, and I'm here with Kurt Arnes.
Hi, Sarah. Yes, we're powered by John Deere, so for all of your equipment and technology needs, see your local Deere dealer. You know, Sarah, it was 78 degrees here this week. I just can't hardly believe it. So I'm just waiting for winter to come back with a vengeance. March came in like a lamb, so you know what that means for the way it's probably going to go out.
I know. It's been so nice here. I know all of our horse pens are just absolutely chock full of mud, which it means there's at least soil moisture going on. So we're happy that there's some mud, not some blizzards going on.
Right. I think we all had about a lot more snow last year, probably, right?
Yeah. I know in Bismarck, we had record-breaking snow and nobody wants that again this year. And today our Shop Talk is going to just be a little bit different than it normally is. I know we usually have somebody join us live. But since I was down at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas at the end of February, I had the chance to visit with some great folks live and in person. So Kurt and I are recording this in our home offices, but our interviews you hear today are going to be live from Commodity Classic. So you might hear a little bit more going on in the background than you usually do.
Yeah, we've been busy around our place with chores like always, but we're trying to clean up some brush this year because we don't have as much snow on the ground. So we removed a bunch of trees around the place last fall, and we're cutting up limbs, trying to get the farm ready for a high school graduation party in May for our son, Zach. So that's kind of rule number one right now on the list until calving starts here shortly. So following up on our Facebook pages and seeing your coverage of Commodity Classic, it looks like there were a lot of things that happened down in Houston, and I'm excited to see what types of stories you and the editorial team will have, as well as some of the interviews you got while you were there too, right?
Yeah, you know, I miss the rest of our Wild West group, our little editorial group that's you, me, and some of our other Midwest editors when we were down in Texas, but it was great to visit with editors from the other regions we cover, which is Florida, California, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and our national writers from Farm Futures and our farm policy editors. So it was a great crew. And this year, Commodity Classic had record attendance. And there's actually some great folks that I know from Twitter that I finally got to meet up with in person as well. So that's always fun. And then since we always talk about food, I am not usually a fan of Mexican food up here in the Dakotas, but we had some great Tex-Mex that we visited when we were there. So I might be converted, but only when I'm in Texas. I will say, I don't know if you saw the Facebook video, but a lot of our editorial team enjoyed some grasshoppers one of those nights. I stuck to lamb or beef at those restaurants, though.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, in Nebraska, grasshoppers are the bane of our existence, and they're not food. Okay. That's what I think I draw the line on that for sure. But I did see lots of video on social media of everyone eating out together, which is pretty typical when we all get together, I think. That's kind of the great part of the farm shows and all of these meetings is meeting up with new people, having some great conversations. And I saw too that there was a highly attended general session with some new EPA rulings, and even Secretary Vilsack was there too, right?
Yeah. You know, if we hadn't gotten to that morning session almost 45 minutes early, I'm not sure we would have fit in. It was almost standing room only. The morning session featured some great conversations, and we saw retired astronaut Columbia professors sharing their stories of perseverance. We had EPA Administrator Michael Reagan announcing their new initiative, which we will link that story to that our policy editor wrote about. So make sure you look for that in the episode description. And of course, Secretary Vilsack, who spoke on discussions about a trilateral trade agreement with Canada and Mexico that they're hoping to have in the works this year. So remember, we're not covering that today, but it'll be in the episode description to read all about that.
Right. Be sure and check that out. It sounds like there were some really interesting announcements and activities going on during that session and during the whole Commodity Classic overall. I heard that you met up with a special person from John Deere while you were there, and you got some insight about how they found our podcast and decided to partner with us.
Yeah, absolutely. But first off, I have to share a little bit about how crazy the John Deere booth was at the show. It almost took up one whole end of the main trade show floor, and they had all of their latest equipment and technology, and they had a stage right in their booth with some great speakers going on. The only thing I missed was getting a John Deere hat from the booth. So if anybody from John Deere is listening and has an extra hat or two, you know where you can find us, and we will be happy to take those off your hands. And it was also great to visit with a few different reps from John Deere. And the one we're here about in this episode was Brian Torrey, who is John Deere's head of media, who I visited with down at the show.
Yeah, I just want to say again how excited we are to partner with John Deere for FP Next. And I'm excited to hear this audio and this story about what helped him think about starting this partnership with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great story. So let's jump right into that interview with Brian Torrey from Commodity Classic.
So we're here at Commodity Classic, and I'm here with Brian Torrey, who is the head of media for John Deere. And I heard that you have a funny story about how it came to be that you want to sponsor our podcast.
Yeah, my wife loves podcasts, and she loves telling stories. So she had this harebrained idea of creating her own podcast, and it was going to be about our nightly conversations over dinner. And I thought, I don't think we can put all that on the air. I think I might lose my job at John Deere if we go down that route. So I thought it'd be safer if I just sponsor other podcasts and help other companies, you know, tell their stories rather than letting my wife get on the air and tell all the stories about me.
Yeah. So got to ask, do you have like a favorite episode that we've released so far that you've listened to?
Oh, the last one on marriage, obviously. Marriage on the farm. Obviously, I don't live on a farm. I live in Kansas City. But great advice that even families and couples who live in the city and maybe work for the same company can follow there. Yeah. So we don't ride to work together. We don't eat lunch together either in the office. She works at John Deere, but we don't interact. We pretend like we don't even know each other when we're in the office, that works for us in that space. So I really enjoyed the last podcast.
Perfect. We thought it was funny too, especially the whole note that we've all gotten in a fight working cows together. Mm-hmm. And that always is just easy of like, instead of just working cows, maybe just don't do those kind of high stress activities, tired.
Yeah.
And like forgive and forget afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah. So how has it been so far for you guys at Commodity Classic? I know you guys have a great, gorgeous booth. I'm excited to see it when the trade show opens. How has that been so far?
It's been great. We've got 1,200 dealers here who we brought in to see our new products. We launched those products to them last night first, and they got a sneak peek at everything last night at a reception. They are enthusiastic about the products. We've got the new 9RX 830, the largest, highest horsepower tractor on the market today. It's a true game changer. In the industry, no DEF at all in it. So true game changer in that space. And we've got the new air seeding equipment as well. From a small grains perspective, it's the best solution out there for small grain producers. Updates on the S7 combines that we're super thrilled with. And we continue to bring in new technology on all of our equipment, several of which you can actually get as a precision upgrade. So you don't have to buy new in order to upgrade your equipment. You can upgrade it through a precision upgrade on that. So dealer feedback last night and today so far, very enthusiastic. They're excited to see everything. We gave some previews to some social media influencers. They're pretty excited about it as well. We can't wait to roll out all the products to everybody and have other farmers see them here soon.
Yeah, I know. I was super excited to see those stories come out on Farm Progress talking about your new products you guys are releasing this week. So I'm glad you asked about and mentioned about it before I could ask about it. But I'm guessing those products are available now for everybody, right?
We start taking orders for some of them here in the next week or two. So for customers who are interested in building and pricing and specking them out, they can definitely reach out to their dealers here in the next week or two, and ordering will open up on some of those products here the next week or two.
Awesome. And then too, I think one of the things about John Deere is just kind of like the John Deere green. You have like that trust with the brand, and that seems like something that you just have like that longevity, that new technology always coming out. Is that something you guys hear from farmers when you're at trade shows like this, is just talking about how excited they are for new products that they can add to their farm?
It is, but even more so, they're excited about being able to upgrade their existing fleet without having to buy new. Mm-hmm. As well. And, you know, there are farmers who definitely, you know, they roll their equipment more often. They want to buy new. There are other farmers who are here who will be looking at what they're going to acquire in the next 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. Their planned purchases. And then there's other farmers who would rather take the technology and put it on their existing fleet. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of fun just to see, you know, every farmer where they're at in their adoption of technology and mm-hmm. who buys new, who'd rather upgrade as well. Yeah. You know, and on the green and yellow front, sometimes we take for granted just how much that green and yellow paint mm-hmm. means to people and how loyal they are to the brand. My dad was very loyal to the brand as well. He just passed away in December, and just kind of going through his stuff and seeing the things that he collected, it just reminded me of how important our products mean mm-hmm. to our customers. You know, they're just not machines. They're part of the business. They're part of the farm, and they're part of the family. And it's great to see customers come in and sit in those seats and see the smile on their face and have pride in the products just like we do as well.
Yeah. I know I saw one thing that I want to make sure to mention that I loved. It was just National FFA Week, and I saw so many memes that were talking about a John Deere cap as a part of the unofficial FFA dress uniform.
It is, yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. I wasn't an FFA kid. I grew up in Kansas City when a convention was always in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Every November we would be, you know, our town would be taken over by the Blue Jackets. Yeah. And I remember as a kid seeing tons of John Deere caps as well. I think, yeah, that John Deere cap is the unofficial cap of the FFA. We just need it. We'd actually need to get it printed and made on a cap. Yeah. And I think we would sell a lot.
So, I think so. Everyone's got that support between two great organizations and brands. So, yeah.
So do I need to give you a cut of all sales for giving me that idea there?
You know, I think you should. I think that's what it needs to be at this point. Okay. I'll expect my royalties from John Deere.
We'll see what we can do here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just wanted to visit with you, and thanks again for having your trust in us and sponsoring the podcast. I love that story with your wife of the reasoning. Yeah. But she should also, could still start a podcast. Maybe it could be like an official deal, but that'd be a fun
I think
podcast.
I'm going to stick with the pros. No, we're super excited to partner with you guys on this, you know, podcast. It's a growing channel for farmers. And, you know, as we see younger farmers listening to more and more podcasts, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to support the industry and to support farm ag journalists, farm broadcasters, and reaching customers in a different way. So we're thrilled to be a part of the podcast and can't wait to hear great stories that you guys will bring to life with the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much again, Brian.
I love that story about his wife, and also it was cool to hear about the new products they released at the show. I think Chris Torres, our American Agriculturist editor, went into details about these new pieces of equipment, so we'll link those in the episode description as well.
Yeah, I know, it was so great that Chris had already covered those, and it was also crazy to walk around the booth during the show and see that new tractor, which is capable of up to 830 horsepower. Do you guys use any tractors close to that big on your farm, Kurt?
No. The biggest tractor we owned around our place was 180 horsepower, and that was really great plenty at the time. I know that you meet up with Farm Progress and Farm Press editors while in Houston, but I think you got some interviewing time and audio with two of our colleagues in person there in Houston, right?
Yeah, after 3 years of being with Farm Progress, I was so excited to finally get to meet Prairie Farmer and Farm Progress executive editor Holly Spangler in person. And I also got to meet our latest addition to our editorial team, which is Allison Lund, who is a staff writer at Indiana Prairie Farmer. So it was great to connect with those two.
Yeah, I worked with Holly at Farm Progress Show several times, but I know I'm still looking forward to meeting Allison in person as well down the road.
Yeah, I'm hoping it could even be at the Farm Progress Show. So let's hop right into that interview with Allison and Holly and hear from them about Commodity Classic.
I'm here with Holly Spangler, who's the executive editor with Farm Progress and editor of the Prairie Farmer magazine, and one of Farm Progress's newest staff writers of Indiana Prairie Farmer, Allison Lund. How have you guys liked the show so far?
It's been great. It's been great, Sarah. It's, 10,800 people I saw were registered here. It's some kind of a record. I mean, it was especially on... What day was that? Thursday? Mm-hmm. Just people everywhere, farmers everywhere, a lot of families.
Yeah.
A lot of business being done.
Yeah. And it's your first Commodity Classic. How has it been? Just kind of baptism by fire.
Yeah. I've been telling everyone, you know, the theme has been that this has been a whirlwind for me, I guess. But it is really cool to be in this new role and just see so many people in the same place that care about the same things and have the same things, you know, top of mind right now. So for me, like, that's been really impactful. And it's just been nice making a lot of these new connections at the show, especially with people from my home state of Indiana. It's cool seeing some of those familiar faces here. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's always a great part of Classic, especially when you're newer to your role in the professional industry since you just graduated from Purdue. Getting those connections is so beneficial to have in person. Then you get all the contacts and the emails and just
so stories. Much of this business is relationship based.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing for me, I'm from Wisconsin originally, so living in Indiana is a fairly new thing for me. So it's like, yes, I'm meeting all these people from my new state, but some of them are neighbors. And I say neighbors loosely, you know, they live within...
Country neighbors.
Yeah, they live within a half hour or so, and it's just like, you know, you get to know them on a personal level too, so it's really cool to be making those connections here of all places.
I don't know how many people I've run into that we've laughed like, I never see you back in Illinois.
Yes,
we have to come to Texas
to
catch
Texas
up for it.
So Holly, you're a pro at Commodity Classics and covering the event. What do you think about the location here in Houston?
I think speaking, you know, from Illinois, and of course all of us are from colder winter areas, any chance to go someplace warm is fantastic. The catch, it's been a little cooler here this week. So, you know, 50 degrees, I think, one day, which is cool for here, but it's still pretty good back home. So I'll take it.
Yeah. Of course, all of us editors are like running around like crazy people, kind of like we've said, of getting the interviews, networking, seeing our neighbors from up north down in Houston. What's kind of the biggest thing you've heard from all of the sessions we've done at the show that farmers are really talking about?
I'll jump in on this one. I sat through a session yesterday with some Purdue AgEcon folks, and it was really impactful to see. They sort of did a survey throughout the session. People, you know, input their answers, and you got to see the results in real time pop up on the screen. And one of the things they had is, what is one of the biggest risks right now to your organization? And as people put their answers in, like if you had a word or phrase that was entered a few times, it grew bigger and bigger on the screen. And by the end, all I saw was commodity prices, and that took up the entire screen. And there was, you know, just flurries of little words around that. So that was really just impactful to sit and see, because that tells you that that's what is on everyone's mind, even while they're getting away and they're at this show this week.
Yeah. Top of mind for
sure. That's
such
a good example of what everybody's talking about.
Yeah,
I think, you know, we went to the the Farm Futures Early Riser session, you know, one day with Ed Ussett from Minnesota and Matt Bennett from Illinois, and talking about grain prices and just that. I think the folks were looking for some sort of hope, right?
Right.
They came into that, and you know, the fact is we don't know. I mean, we have a lot of hope that we'll get a rally here at some point, but it's commodity prices.
If we all had a crystal ball, we'd all be set for life, right?
Yes, we wouldn't be working here, would
right.
we?
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, so the cool thing about this Commodity Classic that I really thought was cool is that there's two trade shows on two different floors, and there is a ton of companies, a ton of new products. And with all that tech, has there been a standout product that stood out to you, you've noticed?
Yeah, you know, maybe it's partly the way I walked into the trade show. I often came in by the deer exhibit, but there was always a ton of people, you know, checking out the new equipment that they just rolled out this week. But I just did an interview earlier today with Precision Planting, and looking at their sprayer technology and just some really cool targeted spraying. They also have a new nozzle system, but like just that idea of targeted spraying and sensing the weeds. And they have a, you know, a big boom set up there, you know, that they show how that works. And they've taught the AI basically to recognize hands.
Yeah.
Right? So you wave your hands, it starts spraying water.
Oh, cool.
And then it's also tracking it on the monitor. So you can see, so it shows up, you know, as if there was this weedy patch in the field, but it's everybody's hands. And that was right when I came along.
I was going to say, I'm laughing over here because I had to have looked like a little kid. You know, we were trying to talk and learn more about this technology, and I kept sticking my hand out just to see and trigger the different nozzles. But, you know, I'll add on to that. I had a really interesting interview with Oaken, which is this new startup out of one of Purdue's groups. And they're this new software company, and they have this platform to manage all of your landowner relations as a farmer. So you can keep all of, like, your lease contracts and stuff in one place. But the really cool part was they set reminders for, like, birthdays and anniversaries, so you can keep those really good relationships with landowners and their extended family. So it's really cool to see how they prioritize that, because I think moving forward, you know, as people think about farm succession planning, having all of that stuff in the same place is going to be really helpful, so that you can keep those connections, you know, top of mind.
That's so interesting. Like ways to help you facilitate relationships.
Yeah, you know, it's something I told them I haven't really ever thought about this before. And, you know, like I said, I was like with my dad back home, everything is up in here, and I'm pointing to my head right now because that's where you keep all these things. And, you know, farmers are already trying to keep these really good relationships and bring up these things, but having it all in one place to then pass on to your kids, I mean, that just makes it all the more easier.
Yeah, it's like you said, Holly, it's all about relationships in this industry. Which, the last question I have for you guys is, I know we've seen a ton of course, my local Dakota farmers made the trek down here, made it out of the blizzard, came down. I heard there were some tornadoes in some of the I states that some people got stuck in. But how beneficial is it for farmers to come to a place like Commodity Classic, whether they're on commodity boards or just to come and see the sites?
Yeah. You know, the commodity groups are all having meetings, you know, Corn Congress, all these things throughout Commodity Classic. But, you know, beyond that, there's just a chance to come hear a lot of information and talk with exhibitors and talk with different companies directly and hear kind of before the growing season, you know, what's out and what's possible for this year.
I think, you know, this show is, you know, it's all about information. And at sometimes, you know, that can be information overload and it can seem really overwhelming in the moment. But I think then, you know, these farmers and producers, they're able to go back to their home states and sit and ponder on all of that information that they absorbed during this week. And it's just things that they can keep top of mind moving forward. So, you know, it might seem like a lot right now, but it's really beneficial for them to get down here because these are topics that are going to continue to be at the forefront of decision making. So I think that it's going to be really important for them to take that back with them.
Right. Which is why we write about a lot of the stuff too. I mean, I walk through this and think, oh, I wish my husband could see, yeah, he exactly. farms as well. But we have cattle, so he's calving.
Yeah.
So
yes.
He doesn't ever get to come. But again, that's why we write about it and report about it and share as much as we can.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of value to that, especially, like you said, for the folks that can't make it down to this show. I mean, it's great to be able to come down to Houston and, you know, think about enjoying the warmer weather. We didn't necessarily get that this...
Maybe sunshine.
This week, yeah. But for those who aren't able to make it down, I mean, it's really important for us to be able to share that with them. And then they can have the opportunity to think on that information, too.
Yeah. And then our editorial team gets to all meet. I know I worked with Holly for 3 years and just got to meet her this week and got to meet Allison at the beginning of her start, but always good to have the connection. So thank you both for coming on to FP Next and talking a little bit what the sights are from the show, and then we'll all be heading back up north and be a little chillier after this.
For a few more weeks anyway.
Yes.
Great conversations there, Sarah, with Holly and Allison. Always good to catch up with colleagues at these events and shows.
Yeah, you know, the people have always been and probably will always be one of my favorite parts of attending these farm shows and trade shows, especially put like a face, like an in-person face to the people and the names you email all the time. So it's always great to catch up with our editorial team.
Right. We all work together and share emails together all the time, but it's that face-to-face stuff is always the best and good chance to network and share stories. That's for sure. I know we're looking forward to show season the rest of the year and hopefully meeting up with some of our listeners if we see them in the wild. And as we wrap up this episode of Shop Talk, we want to thank you for listening in on this episode of FP Next, allowing us into your tractor cab, your truck, on your farm, and in your fields. A special thanks goes out to our digital production and marketing team members who put in a lot of work with us. And look for those story links in the episode descriptions. And if you want to be sure not to miss any of our top stories, sign up for our Farm Progress text blasts, which bring the hot stories right to your inbox.
I know, sometimes those hot stories are even FP Next. And you can sign up for those text alerts by texting FARM, F-A-R-M, to 20505. Plus, be sure to follow Farm Progress on social media to stay up to date with ag news and more. And check out the digital edition of your regional publication at farmprogress.com. Tune into our next episode of FP Next for a special Farm Files episode where we answer the burning question, just how much farmland does Bill Gates actually own?
Yes, that's a great topic. And I think listeners will be surprised to find out who is the actual largest owner of farmland in the U.S., as well as how much foreign ownership there really is.
I know I love this topic, and so I'm super excited for this next episode. Follow along with FP Next, powered by John Deere, by listening and subscribing on your favorite podcast platform or at Farm Progress Online, and be sure to leave us a review if you enjoy the show.
We love 5-star reviews, folks.
5 stars are nothing, right? If it's agriculture, your friends at Farm Progress have you covered. Here's wishing you high yields and good weather. We'll see you next time.